Episode 311, July 24th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
I think anybody listens to what we're saying right now. I mean, I'm guessing they don't listen to the whole intro, so they probably skip ahead. And they probably, do you think they nail it right when we start talking, or whatever we say in the first 15, 20 seconds just gets lost?
I think about that, because I shouldn't say this, but I skip past the theme song when I listen, and I skip past the commercials. So I can't be the only one with the ability to do that. And I think about, I don't want to dime anybody out, but I think about a show that we were recently on, and I think about the sponsors, and I'm thinking, well, if I was listening to this show, I would just skip ahead of this. And then when I did listen to the show, I did.
Well, I mean, it's a numbers game. I'm sure some listen. Some, maybe they're just, they're listening in their car. You know, they don't want to reach down to grab their phone and move it ahead. They just listen. Well, that seems normal. That's probably not that uncommon, right?
Well, let's think about television. There's four of us on here. How many that are on this show watch commercials? They don't fast forward through the commercials. Robbie never hasn't seen a commercial in 20 years. So let's get him out of the conversation.
I do.
So you watch commercials?
I do, but remember, I'm in the ad business, so it's part of what I do.
Hey, okay. I don't fast forward through the commercials on TV either.
I do.
I'm most likely not watching taped shows.
How good are you?
I watch a lot of live TV. Robbie watches none.
How good are you at fast forwarding and getting and starting it right at the point where the commercial ends?
I'm real good when I'm listening to podcasts. I mean, I know exactly. I got 30 seconds. If I go and I hear kind of near the end and I fast forward, I'll go back and listen to the last, 18 seconds or whatever of the commercial. But yeah, I'm pretty good at listening to the bare minimum.
Do you need to get it exactly? Because see, Tawanda will fast forward. And if she's picking it up 2 seconds into the beginning of the show again, which nothing has happened.
She'll still go back.
She'll still go back. And I'm like, they're just resetting the scene. Nothing's happening. Or they're literally, in some cases, repeating what was just been said. You know, if it's some, Gordon Ramsay show or something. The beginning of the second segment is just the repeating of how the first segment ended. So, but she'll have to get it exact.
No, I'm not that way. I do, like, when I TiVo or DVR Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, a super fast fast forward, and then I have a medium fast forward. And as soon as I see an ad for a show on that network, I go to the slower fast forward so I don't miss the beginning. But if I go a few seconds in, I just missed it.
I bet
nothing important happened in those first 2 seconds.
I bet Robbie has it down to a science.
Robbie, no chance Robbie misses 2 seconds of a show. He watches it from the second the director intended to the second the director intended for it to end.
Is that correct, Robbie?
Yeah, I go back if I get into the show.
Yeah. Did you ever go and watch The Night Manager, Robbie?
No, I only saw the first episode.
Okay, because I thought maybe you would go back and watch it.
No, I'm too busy.
With other television shows.
Yeah, because Katie has now watched it and liked it a lot. Because I know that you originally, you didn't want to watch Homeland. You shit on that, and now you've seen every episode.
Yeah, I still don't like that actor, but yeah, I enjoy Homeland.
Thing about, you mentioned Katie. The thing about Katie is it's hard to get her to watch a show that she didn't intend on watching. But once she starts watching it and it's good, she buys in. Does that make sense? Fargo is a perfect example.
I know. I finally got you guys to watch Fargo.
She didn't want to watch Fargo, but then she did watch it. And because it was great, you know, then she's like, oh, well, this is good. And we watched it to the end. See, that's Robbie. Once he makes a decision, it's never going to change. It doesn't matter if in starting an episode 2 it was directed by, you know, Spielberg and Daniel Day-Lewis is in it. It doesn't matter.
Marcus, do you know what happened 2 years ago this week?
No. What happened 2 years ago?
You started being on our show.
Oh. Hey. Seems like forever, though.
Yeah. Do you remember your first day, Marcus? Were you nervous?
No, I I just wanted to make sure that I was helpful and trying to stay out of the way so that, you know, people like our good friends down in Richmond didn't hate me, but they still hate me anyway.
Well, we all got together and we got you absolutely nothing, but thank you. Thank you for a great 2 years, Marcus. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And let me celebrate you guys because, you know, as a fan of all things More Broadcasting, Friday's show, best show in a long time of TMOS.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. I thought we had a good time. It was fun. And you know, I think the show is better when we're not just talking about my personal life and we're talking about other things. Don't you guys agree?
Oh, you guys killed the Oscars take at the end of the show, especially. But no, the show was much better since it wasn't focused all on Rob and your driving instructions and your lack of a relationship, you know, settling.
Taylor and Allison Jenkins, who I mentioned last week, who came to my comedy show, their listeners, they came over from TMOS and now listen to our show as well. And I believe it was Taylor that said this exactly, but he made a great point. And I do think there's some truth in it. The way we are funny on this show, Joe, is different than, say, when we're on the Mike O'Mara show or when I'm on the Tony Perkins show.
I made that same observation.
Okay.
In what way?
And that we're sitting back and you know, I call it, you know, sniping, basically. Being a sniper, getting in lines, zingers, you know, like Marcus just mentioned with the Oscars segment, Oscars take. Versus here where we're neither one of us is really playing that role.
Well, this is the real me on this show. You know what I mean?
No, yes, but that we are good at that, at doing that.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah, especially when we're both on there.
So I think that is the real us. But here, so maybe, you know, should we be doing more of that? Like Robbie reads the story and then we comment.
All right. Yeah, let's start a new segment. Robbie, you are going, because I also noticed that when we were watching Game of Thrones, and that we just like to throw out snide comments, and I enjoy that. I like watching Game of Thrones with Rob.
No, it's fun. But one of our strengths is snide comments, and if we don't have someone directing us or throwing out a story that, for us to comment on, then we're not really using one of our, you know, one of the weapons in our bat
arsenal,
utility bat here, our arsenal. Yeah.
So Robbie, do you mind finding a story each week, a new story to read?
Yeah, let me give this some thought.
Interesting. So you said you had the same observation, but you don't agree with the
Oh, I don't
remedy.
No. I don't know if we I don't know if we need to inject that into this show, but I think we can find maybe a creative way to do it. I don't know if me reading a story is the correct way to do it, but let me give it some thought.
Plus, you just gave him a task.
Are you insecure about your reading ability?
It's hard for me to read off the computer, so that means I would have to print it out. It's, you know, it's an extra step. It's something I have to think ahead to do.
Yeah, wow. The printing. Wow.
It's hard to do.
Hey, did you notice this, Marcus? Tell me if you could feel this, because I could definitely feel it in the room when I was in there. Remember, Mike had asked Rob and Oscar to write out some questions for him to ask.
Oh, man.
During his class reunion.
Yep.
And they didn't do it.
Right.
And I could feel that Mike was clearly annoyed by that.
Oh, no, it comes through on the show very well.
It does. Okay, just making sure, because I felt it, and I'm like, but, and by the way, I love Rob and Oscar. I love them. I know them a lot better than I know Mike, but Mike was right. You know what I mean? They didn't do anything. They didn't. Yeah. He's like, hey, do this. This is going to be a segment they did, and neither one of them did it. And Oscar's was literally from a religious website that he, so basically Oscar just Googled questions to ask at a high school reunion, and the first thing that came up was from a religious website. So he just read questions
which
that you
he admitted
ask if you were trying.
He phoned it in from the worst phone line possible.
And I love these guys, but yeah, you're right. They didn't treat it with respect at all.
So they're
lucky that we were there, because at least it became a break that made sense.
Is it luck, or were they just counting on us to pick up the slack?
You mean Rob and Oscar?
Yes.
No, it was luck.
Well, they had to know the Friday before he goes to the reunion is when they're going to do that segment, and they knew we would be on that show.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that even with that task at hand, they take it like many of the other similar tasks. They'll only take it with a certain level of seriousness, and Oscar has a tendency, if you listen to the show regularly, Oscar has a tendency to Google everything at the last minute. Rob might bring something to the table, but sometimes they're winners and sometimes they're losers. On Friday's show, unfortunately, it just didn't work out for either one of them, and thank God you guys were there to pick up the slack.
Who's more likely to follow through on a task, Oscar or Rob when Mike gives it to them, or Robbie when Joe or I give him a task? Because he just rejected the one we just said.
Well, see, if Robbie commits to a task, Robbie's going to get it done.
Yeah, Robbie does.
So Robbie comes first.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's Robbie giving us tasks or Mike giving Oscar and Rob tasks.
All right, fair enough. Well, Robbie, how do you feel about Joe and I following through on your instructions or tasks?
I think it's mostly you do, but I think I sometimes have to remind. I can't just say it one time and be sure that it's going to happen.
That's fair. Taylor and Allison also did say though that our show is very inside, and once you pick up on some of that stuff, that it becomes super funny. It's less us doing funny one-liners like we do when we guess another show, and I think that's a fair point.
But that's a fair point on any of the shows on the network, because they're all based on the relationships of the hosts. And if you don't understand where they're coming from or the relationships and where they have been, then it sometimes takes a little while and a few shows for you to get it.
Do you think that a lot of our, how many of our listeners do you, what percentage of our listeners think, know that Marcus's wife hates the Once You Go White, You'll Still Be Tight t-shirt?
Now
is
all
above
of them.
50%?
Probably, yes. Yes.
I don't know. I bet you they didn't. I bet it was only about 20%.
Only because they forgot.
I mean, not everyone.
I've mentioned it like six times.
Yeah.
Not everyone's Mac Bergson. Today.
Yeah, we should have people come on and do Rob and Joe trivia who think they can do it. Now, Mac, obviously, he would slaughter everybody in it, but we have to not allow him to play. Maybe he can write the game.
Wait a minute. No.
This
is what we do. You write the game, Robbie, and we play against Mac. That's what we do.
There we go.
Today I said on Twitter and Facebook, it's an old topic, but I said, what age is too old to sleep in a race car bed, asking for me? And of course, you know, 15 minutes later, Mac Bergson, What are you, rehashing jokes from episode 14? He posts the episode, so he's right on top of it. So good.
Yeah. You know what I did ask on Twitter the other day, because we were having an argument? Are there any wild cows? Now, the argument was, not argument, discussion was between me and Dave Wilkerson and Katie. And Katie went on to the internet and was like, oh, there are yaks and this. And then I go, yeah, but they might be in the cow family, but I'm talking about a cow like that your steaks and your milk and your cheese come from. There's no wild cows, right?
There is, actually.
Where do they live? Are they like Chincoteague, where the horses run? There's cows there too.
No, on Hawaii, there's some wild there's some wild cattle. As a matter of fact, there's an organization called the Wild Cattle Conservation Organization.
The wildlings of cows.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, don't go north.
You just made Katie very happy as she won that argument.
Something interesting happened today for me in terms of, you know, I always talk about my Twitter not getting love. Usually I get a lot of Facebook, you know, likes and things. But I said something today, and it's very interesting to me how little approval it got. Just for Laughs is the biggest comedy festival in the world. It's out of Montreal. And they do, they have a New Faces thing they do every year. Like 20, 25 comics they get, you know, they're usually obviously younger, they're new faces. And they get selected to perform. So I tweeted in Facebook, did Peyton Manning get new faces? You know, because he just hosted the ESPYs and stuff.
Hilarious, right?
How many likes do you think I have?
Well, the fact that you're mentioning, I don't know, two.
I have one like on Facebook, where I usually crush. I have one like on Twitter. You know who the like's from?
Peyton Manning.
The Just for Laughs Festival. So they're not offended by the joke, but there's so many comics that is he taking a shot? Is he upset he didn't get it? That they're afraid to like it. When the actual fucking place is like, yeah, that's funny. So
maybe it's not as funny as you think it is. But by the way, I think it's funny. I'm just saying. The only option is that people are afraid of the Just for Laughs.
Yes, because there's this thing in comedy where now Steve-O's headlining. Oh, it's Dustin Diamond. You're just some celebrity, and suddenly you're just headlining A clubs. And so, you know, Peyton Manning, as someone who pretty much always does well in his appearances, commercials, SNL, you know, it's not crazy to think that somehow he's going to be headlining comedy clubs. It's not a crazy thought.
So,
I think it's a good, smart joke, and I think it should have got more love.
It is funny.
The reason I think it didn't is because of that reason.
You know what? I don't necessarily know how Twitter works, Rob, because every time I see one of your tweets, I like it, but I just never see them. I don't think I scroll down my feed far enough. I think I just look at the first, you know. By the way, when I scroll through, I see 8 Dan K. Charnley tweets.
Yeah, well, he tweets a lot more. I had one that I thought would do better as well. I mean, we're Redskins fans, and if you know, Bruce Allen is the GM, and Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. And, you know, last week when they didn't sign him to a long-term deal, Bruce Allen, you know, read a statement, and it sounds like he's calling Kirk Kurt. And so I tweeted, I wonder if Bruce Allen saw Dunkurt this weekend.
Okay, funny. Well,
so I'm hoping, because I saw the hashtag Redskins and Kirk Cousins and Dunkirk, things that should be trending to some degree. Hey, you know, 5 fucking likes, you know. So where are you, Denny Rouillet? Where's the Redskins? I mean, this is funny. Nothing.
So also tweeted by the Robin Joe Show page, top 5. This isn't just listing 5. This is the top 5. Top 5 hilarious Indian American stand-up comedians.
Yep.
Okay, let me read this list for you. Number 1, household name, Aziz Ansari.
Of course.
Parks and Rec, very hilarious comedian.
Hit Netflix series now.
How about Mindy Kaling from The Office?
Yes.
Also believe from The Mindy Show. Very, yes. Very, very funny. Hold on. Also, Asif, how do you say his last name? Mandvi, but he's on The Daily Show. He has an HBO. He's on the HBO comedy series that he's acts in, wrote, and produced, The Brink. This guy, clearly, huge career. Next, Dan Ninen. Next, Russell Peters, who, by the way, I believe is ranked fourth in earnings, in comedy earnings last year. So here's a guy. Everybody else in there, I don't really know. Not that he, I recognize him immediately, but this Asif guy, I don't know. He's also on the Mindy Pro. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. He does stuff for Funny or Die. He was on Sex and the City, Law and Order. I mean, this guy was a.
All right, Rob, I like you.
The Rob and Joe Show can also be found on the Moore Network.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Jeez. Okay. Anyway, so these guys all have, they don't have careers. They have, I mean, top careers.
Oh, they're crushing it. Yes.
How did Dan make it on this list? I don't understand. Here's what, can I read what it says about Dan?
Please.
The other ones are in The Office. They're on Parks and Rec. They're on network television. They're writing and producing their own, you know, vehicles. Bloomington, Indiana, born Dan Ninen, is the son of a nuclear physicist from Kerala and a child psychologist from Japan, as you well know, because he buys his sushi from 7-Eleven. He served as a senior engineer with the Intel Corporation, and it was during that time he accidentally came across the world of stand-up comedy. His performance at a consumer electronics show in Las Vegas created an impression among the audience that he had been hired as a professional comedian. He also performed in this year's All-American Inaugural Ball. Where, how did this? How does this happen? Look at the credits of the other people on the list. How does he? I don't understand how he manages to pull this off. You know when this article is from? From four fucking days ago.
Yeah, we have a friend on Facebook, and this Candace August. She's a comedian. Did a show with her, well, an open mic at the Improv last week. She's very cool, very funny. She said, how did Hasan Minhaj not make it onto the list? He just had his own, I believe it was a special. I don't know if it was on Netflix or something. He's also on The Daily Show. So another person with a real career that's getting ousted by Dan Ninen.
Of course, the first thing I look for in these is the comment section. Not to shit on Dan, I've never made a comment. Well, I did make comments on Twitter when he was outed for the millennial article in Forbes. But there's no comment section. No comment section. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we don't have an author either.
No, well, it's from AmericanBizarreOnline.com. So, it is very bizarre. But this is like having a list of your five best, you know, black baseball players. And four are like Adam Jones, you know, all multiple all-star. And the fifth one is the guy that plays softball. I mean, it's ridiculous. This, everyone else's credits, you know, writes for The Daily Show, has his own special. He's born in Bloomington, Indiana? My God.
That actually is his best credit.
Yeah. Just Google him.
His credit was that he was at a show that where people thought he was hired to be there, meaning he was at the show. He was just there. He was just hanging out. That's the credit that's written, that he decided to spend time. It's the equivalent of you being so hilarious in 7-Eleven that they think they hired somebody to be funny by the Slurpee machine. There's no difference in terms of what I've just read.
He performed at that American Ball thing. This guy that didn't make it, Hasan Minhaj, he performed at the 2017 White House Correspondents' Dinner. Okay. And Dan Ninen is, I mean, come on.
I will say this. If I knew, I'm telling you, yeah, I guess it's easy to say now, but I wish I could be in that situation to then prove. I would never try to represent myself so fraudulently. I would never. I think it's bad for your brand anyway. I think Dan is under the impression whatever it takes to get your name out there is worth it. So we're a little bit different in that regard.
Right.
But I would like to know, how do you get that kind of exposure? How do you get Forbes to write an article about you? How are you in Us Weekly or whatever the hell sells the Wall Street Journal? Whatever he's been in. How do you do that? Because at the very least, if we knew how to do that, we could drive people to our comedy, our murder mysteries, which is a really good product, and people would enjoy it and then see that it had value And then that could grow based on its merit, not based on how we're able to trick people into getting into these things. But I would like to know. Now, you know, Dan has often said in his, and I haven't heard from Dan in a couple years. So, but when he used to email us regularly, he used to say, you know, there are people that are nice to me and I kind of give them the keys to the kingdom. I kind of show them the blueprint on how to do these things. And I'm not going to lie, there is some value in trying to figure out how to get exposure in this way. Now, I'm not going to buy eggs and buy Twitter followers. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to misrepresent myself. But I would like to know, how do you get this kind of exposure?
Well, that he could and should teach a class on that. And we would actually, I mean, that would be worth it. He has some skill in that area. Did you mention there was no comments on this?
Yeah. Yes, you cannot comment on this article. If actually, you could, I'm sure.
No, though, there's one comment. And it's from Dan Ninen.
Where do you see that?
It's 4 days ago. I think it's the only comment. They probably is the only one that kept up. And in Dan's defense, he is very happy. He says, "Holy cow, I'm truly flabbergasted to be mentioned with these comics. They are far away more successful and well-known than I am, and much funnier. Thank you so much. My website is down right now. So for booking information, you can contact comediandan@gmail.com. Or just call. He has an officer's phone number they list. Thank you very much again, Dan."
Why is his website down?
I don't know.
Hold on. What is it, danninen.com?
I would imagine.
No, it's Comedian Dan.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Are you sure?
4 days ago, he left that comment. So
it's not out. Yeah, you're right. Wow, I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder how long it's been down. Is there a way to find that out?
Why would it be down? Is there?
Well, I'm sure that, he can't. He controls content on his own site. He's not probably, he can't be afraid of people, you know. Let's just use Wikipedia. Let's see how that's doing.
He had to use all of his bandwidth and server space to get that article up.
Dan Ninen broke the internet.
Yeah.
let's take a break. Maybe when we come back, Dan's website will be up. Rob and Josh, I'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery. There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, August 11th and 12th at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Speaking of Rob and Joe Show, you know, I look up the other day and you are sporting a Rob and Joe Show mug, Joe Robinson.
Yeah, so let me just go back a little bit. If you just Google Dan Ninen's wiki, wow, the top searches are just Dan Ninen is the worst human being ever is the first one. Oh, Dan Ninen has a Wikipedia page, exclamation point. Dan Ninen, the media's favorite millennial, is 55 years old. I mean, it's just nonsense. Wikipedia deleted Dan Ninen's article. I mean, everything is just comedian punches a journalist over negative tweets. Dan Ninen, comedian Dan Ninen, colon, a sociopath. I've never seen this one. Sorry.
It's amazing that someone would write an article and not just Google his name and then see that and decide, you know what, maybe he shouldn't be on this list, but I don't know.
I'm telling you, that is publicity that he created for himself. He wrote that article. He got that article published.
You might be right. He might have freelance writing, and that's the article he wrote. It's a good theory.
Under a different name.
It's a very good theory. Do we even have the name of the author?
It's not on there.
By AB Wire?
No, AB is service. The name of the the name of the
He probably wrote it himself. That makes sense. Are you still on, Dan? Are we gonna can we talk about your mug?
Sure. I mean, what's there to talk about?
Which is funny that you bought a mug with your show on it.
Well, you're outing me a little bit. Okay. So here's, I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe it's Robbie who put a little cafe press link, meaning if you want to buy a show product, we don't make any money off of it, but go to this and buy, you can buy mugs and keychains or whatever, right?
Well, why don't we make any money off?
There is a percentage that, but I went when I saw Joe bought the mug, I looked to see if it was calculated as one of the sales in the last. We haven't made one sale in the last year.
Yeah. So they're not, we don't get it. It doesn't matter. So I saw it and then I was thinking, wow, it'd be cool to have a Robin Joe Show mug. So I bought the mug. But then, great listener, Amy Michelle Berger sends me a message saying, hey, where do I get that? And now I have to apologize to Amy because I'm so lazy. I was too lazy to say, well, I went to this website. I went to Cafe Press. I didn't feel like typing all that out. So I said it was a gift, which is a lie. I actually lied to her. And you just made me expose myself.
You lied to Amy.
Amy, I'm so sorry.
Go on the RobinJoe.com website and go to the bottom and you'll see the little store link.
There you go.
And you made me tell Amy that I lied. Amy, it really wasn't a lie. It was sheer laziness. So I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Accept my apology. She's probably going to be mad at me Z is probably going to be mad at me.
There we go. Probably will. But I think your apology, Amy, will accept. But let's hope so.
You know what, Amy? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to tweet me. And tweet message me your address, and I'm going to send you a mug. Okay? Done.
There we go. There we go. And as we're doing the show, Marcus Serta shares a video to my timeline. Steve Martin teaches comedy. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, I just found it funny that it came up on my timeline, and I thought, oh, I know some guys that need help. I'm kidding, of course.
I post another photo of Tawanda today. It was actually me, Tawanda, and Tiffany Haddish, who's now the biggest star in the world. And you know who has a comment. That would be Gramps. So I said, you know, I'm in the middle. That's the joke. Two beautiful women, and I'm the white guy in the middle. What do you think Gramps' comment was?
Oh, God. let me think. Who's that troll in the middle of those two? I don't know, supermodels. He tells them how beautiful they are, and he shits on you. Okay. He didn't call you a troll.
No.
Did he say, did those other two women turn to stone? I'm trying to think of how he can just take a shot at you. Go ahead, just tell me.
He says, boy, do they make you look bad. Which is true.
It is true, but I mean, you know. Just thank God I don't have to endure that because he's my father. But, you know, to be called ugly, it sucks. You don't want that. Now, you want to outkick your coverage, but just to be called ugly, it's tough. That's tough to take.
Well, I have a Gramps story. As you guys know, he is now emailing me directly. It's a pretty good one, I think. So here we have it. Here we go. Yesterday, I was to see this old lady. And she told me to meet her at her niece's house. She was on the porch with her niece and started picking on me. I said to the niece, see how badly she treats me? She said, I only do it because I like you. I said, if you don't stop, I'm going to give you a whipping.
Loves that. Oh, no, not that line.
She asked, are you going to use a whip? I said, no, just my hand. She said, if you do that, it'll give you a hard-on.
Oh, my God.
I said, then maybe I'll back off. She said, why? Don't you want one? And that's it. I mean, I feel like this is a cliffhanger. Like,
you know what it sounds like if you ever watch pornography, which I have maybe one or two occasions? It sounds like this dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, within four sentences, they're fucking. That's what it sounds like here. It's hard to get a woman to say in public, don't you want a hard on in four sentences? But somehow Gramps is able to pull that off.
And this is in front of this woman's niece.
Yeah, how old is this niece? That's what I'm wondering.
It said niece's house, so I'm assuming the niece is and the lady's an old lady. I'm assuming the niece is of age, is a grown, is an adult.
Okay, let's say for example, if it's a niece who owns a house, how old is she? She's got to be 30, right?
Well, so, she doesn't necessarily own the house, but let's just say she's a 30-year-old woman. Yes.
So how old is the? Is this a great aunt? Is this a?
You just said I went to see this old lady.
Okay. So if my dad is calling her old lady, she's older than him.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, the niece could be 50. Yeah.
So that means that this old lady, at the very least, thinks that Gramps wants to have sex with her.
Yes.
Well, what if he says yes? These two are going to go at it?
He's going to whip her. I mean, if she's like an 80-year-old black woman, she's not that far removed from
them. That, right. That being a real thing.
Right.
I think sometimes my father likes to say things to show he can get away with it.
Well, that's. I mean, I would never say that to Tawanda. I mean, it just seems wrong to say that.
Well,
a white guy to say that to a black person.
Yeah.
It just seems wrong.
Whip. I mean, spank is one thing.
Right.
Spank is one. He's literally saying, I'm going to use the device with which we controlled your ancestry during times of slavery. That's what's being said.
Yes.
Now, I know.
He doesn't mean that.
Yes, he doesn't mean that. But you're not worried about how that's perceived. You just are like, these are the words I choose.
In chat, Gramps just said the old lady, 65. She's younger than him.
How old is the niece?
I guess she's got to be in her 30s. I'm gonna Google right now hottest 65-year-old.
It's the British woman that's always naked.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yeah.
Okay, so
Jane Fonda's pretty hot.
Sophia Loren.
Okay, yeah. Who's the first picture of the 65-year-old? By the way, she looks smoking hot. I'm going to start giving you some hints. She was on a very, very famous situation comedy in the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, Three's Company, Suzanne Somers?
Suzanne Somers is correct.
Nice.
Next, it's a picture of a dude, okay? Christie Brinkley. Oh, this says, Susan Sarandon is 65. Let's take a look. Very hot.
Yeah.
All right. You think this is what Celine Dion. Here's a picture of Celine Dion.
Oh, come on.
Of course, Helen Mirren's in there as well.
I'm guessing that this woman is not as attractive as Suzanne Somers.
I'll tell you what, I'm seeing a picture of Raquel Welch here. She is hideous.
This is what I want to know, though. It's like, Gramps has these conversations, and clearly nothing is ever going to happen, but how do they end? I mean, does he just then change the subject? I mean, because once you said, if you do that, I'll give you a hard-on. Maybe I'll back off. Why? Don't you want one? Well, then what? You're down a road at that point. It seems like a weird thing to transition.
Yeah, he has to back off. That's what has to happen. I mean, then I don't know. Does he go in his car and feverishly beat off? Like, I have no idea what he does after that.
Are you sure nothing happens?
I hope not. Not forget the morality of it. I mean, it seems kind of gross.
The number of times this happens, though.
Flesh and blood, right?
Can you name anyone on this planet, any man that you know, any guy that's ever had this many women say these kinds of things to him that did nothing?
The guy from the Dos Equis commercial, the most interesting man in the world. Like, I don't know.
Fictional.
But I haven't had these things said to me as many as Dramps has had.
I don't know that I've had them said once.
Yeah. With a stranger?
Do you want me to give you a hard-on in front of their niece? No, that's never happened to me.
Not from a stranger. I mean, you're in a relationship with somebody, maybe, but, I mean, he's having this. Strangers are doing this all the time. It seems unbelievable that this could happen to anyone, let alone then not act upon it.
Yeah, and it's not a stranger in a bar. It's a stranger who you're seeing them in a work capacity.
He is wearing a suit.
Well, Men's Warehouse. You know, like the way you look today. Yeah. We need to have a Gramps commercial or something. Something where he's the world's most interesting pervert, old man, flirt. I don't know. I don't want to upset him. He's giving dating advice or something. And you have a call-in show.
I would be interested in my father's dating advice.
Should we have a segment, Robbie? Another segment that we're, you know, we have listeners, you know, write in, give their dating questions.
Yeah, we should
questions.
Have singles. Yeah, write in yeah. who are write having difficulty meeting, you know, members of the opposite sex, and ask Gramps advice.
He can email it to you, and you can read it on the air.
All right, getting it on with Gramps.
But he doesn't know how to pick up white women. Just letting you know.
All right, well, just email. Do we have a show email, or do you want them to email me, Robbie?
We do have a show email. Just have them email it to you for the time being.
All right, robmayer@gmail.com. I will get with Gramps, and then he will give us his advice.
There is contact information again on robinjoe.com.
Right. You buy a mug there too. Let's take a break, wrap this thing up. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
What's up with these weird drops today?
That was Joe.
It was? Do it again. What's that?
Oh, when I don't remember why you made that noise.
I did see some pretty great names in chat today from the last week's show.
Yeah, Double R Bar Burger.
Yeah. Yeah. Double R Bar Burger. Ed Sheeran from Robbie being annoyed at Game of Thrones. Flame Pansy. That's me making fun of kids who are scared of the Japanese steakhouse.
Right.
Gramps likes it cold, reminding us of how Gramps and his wife kept it so cold that Robbie's girlfriend doesn't want to stay there anymore. Jeremy Scaramake. That, of course, is a reference to Jeremy yes. Woodworth, who's everyone is terrified of. And then the most hilarious name in chat, Marcus Serta.
You know, I expressed my concerns to Tommy Sambazo about Jeremy having him be in the show, thinking he was going to say, oh, no, he'll be fine. And he said, yes, you should be concerned. So he did not alleviate one bit.
Well, this is the good news about that. And it's been discussed on not just our podcast, but also Quality Time, Eric and Jeremy's podcast. And they've never said, no, I'll take it serious. It's never happened. Not one time have they said anything to make me feel better about it. But the good news is that Jeremy is not written into the script. He is somebody who has a responsibility to scare people, maybe run on stage, something like that. And if
kidnap a child.
If he can't control himself, we're going to just ask him to not come back. But if he can, it could be really cool. Now, I really want this to work because I think it'd be cool to have him as part of what we do at the very, very end, not to give anything away. But if you've seen any of our shows, you pretty much know what's going to happen. And that's would be really great to have him go up there and be part of this. But again, if he really, really can't control himself, then we'll just say, okay, well, we tried. It didn't work. Go have a good day.
Well, he did message the Rob and Joe show and he says, tell Joe's brother, thanks for the design. Because the design of our Halloween whodunit logo has a scary clown in the middle of it.
The makeup is the character that Jeremy plays, Pogo the Clown. It is
that,
Jeremy.
That is literally a picture of Jeremy in his makeup.
I had no idea. Touche. So,
and Jeremy, is he upset that his likeness is being used, or is he thrilled?
He said, thank you. He's thrilled.
No, he loves it.
I'm guessing it's probably one of the top 10 things that's ever happened to him.
I hope not. Isn't he married with kids?
Super excited. No. What, Jeremy? He didn't have
he's
kids,
married.
Does
I don't know if he has kids. But.
No, that'd be a terrifying thought. So we talked last week about my show in Reston with Dr. Gill and the guy that did the article for The Connection. Well, nice. The article is out. And this is what is said about me. The comedy lineup was headlined by Rob Mayer, who has appeared on Comedy Central's Heart in the City. It's really of the city. Among other places. That's it. He followed Gil Sigev, Dominic Rivera, and Chelsea Short, who filled in for Frankie French, she's in our Singing for Life murder mystery, another Reston native, after French had to bow out because of a dental emergency.
This guy might be the worst writer ever. I mean, this guy called you, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, you have his phone number? Robbie, I want this guy on the show.
He messaged me, and then I called him.
Robbie, yeah, Rob, I want this guy on the show.
Yeah, give me his email, Rob.
Okay.
I have to know, how could you write a worse article? I mean, you explain to me how a worse article could be written.
Okay, did you read the whole thing? Because it starts with raunchy, crude, and explicit jokes flew from a stage across the packed Café Montmartre for nearly 2 hours on Saturday night, July 8th. That's a good opening sentence.
Yeah, right. It's almost like he's like, you know what? I'm going to write it. And he's like, you know what? I'm kind of fucking tired. let me just say who was there. By the way, it's like a 9-sentence article, too.
Rob, who how long that? Did he interview you?
Yeah, that's the other thing. He asked Rob a bunch of questions. And
he ended the interview abruptly. I think he was not prepared when I called him, and he ran out of questions. And then he said he would talk to me at the show, and then we said hello, but he didn't ask me any more questions.
Bob Mayer from Comedy Central's Liver of the City. He has an amazing hello. I mean, he knows nothing about you. He's spoken to you twice. Once was an interview. I mean, do the people that are responsible for this publication read that article and go, "This is exactly what we're looking for." I wanted to know about that leg, the girl who wasn't there, who needed a root canal.
That he mentioned someone who wasn't there and why she wasn't there. I mean, the audience isn't, they're not reading this wondering, well, what happened
exactly,
to Frankie French? I thought she was
thinking.
On that show. I mean,
they don't know who you are. So they sure as hell don't know who the person that isn't there is and why they weren't there. Who gives a shit?
It is bizarre, but
that's my first question. I'll bet we have better questions for him than he had for you. Well, they're going to be 10 times better.
I
want to know, why did he mention the dentistry?
I don't know. Do you think he didn't like my show? Because, you know, he never mentioned that I was funny or I did well or anything.
Yeah, he just said you were dirty.
Well, he just said the show was dirty, which it was. I mean, there was other people that were dirty, too. I wasn't any dirtier than anybody else, I don't think. Well,
let's pretend that Frankie's upset because she was out for some other reason. You said... But it was because she had a child who had a cold, and you said she was at the dentist.
All right. So you want to get him on the show? Is that what you want me to do? You want me to give you want his email, Robbie?
Yeah, let's grill this guy.
We'll get Thomas on. Do you think he'll write an article about that?
You better.
Yeah, you better.
Well, God, I hope it's as good as this last one.
Marcus Serta couldn't be in the attend the show that night because he was dealing with colon surgery. What? Who's Marcus? What are you talking about?
That's coming up in September.
Oh.
Someone you've never heard of. Replace someone else that you never heard of for a reason you don't care.
Your buddy, you sent us a Theo article, but is that interesting? I don't
know. Well, hold on.
It just gives you more information about what station he's on and everything.
What are the chances that this guy has a journalism degree? It's zero, right? He can't be a real writer.
I mean, the article is fine other than not really talking to me at all.
What are you talking about?
And that part. Dude, the rest of it is fine. There's a nice picture there accompanying it. It's
No, it's not fine. It's a shit. Listen, hey, you know, I personally know a journalist, somebody who wrote for a daily. Why don't we have them read that article unsolicited and say, hey, what do you think of this article?
Well, I know MocoVox's Brian Karam. He can.
Yeah, have Brian. Yeah, have him take a peek at this article. See if he wants to.
Well, what are you
guy.
Expecting? It's the Reston Connection. I mean, the kid's 21 years old.
You listen, I'm telling you right now, this is the truth. When I was in middle school and I was on the Old Mill Crier newspaper, my writing was better than that. I'm not, I swear to you, it was better than that.
All right. All right. Well, we'll get Thomas on the show.
I wonder I want to get him to admit he didn't feel like writing it at some point.
I don't think
he stopped caring halfway through the third sentence.
I don't think he enjoyed my comedy.
Well, who do you think he likes?
He likes famous people.
He was mad that Frankie wasn't there.
He's a big Frankie French fan. You mean meet famous people?
Yeah, the style of comedy he might like.
I think he likes Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan's hilarious. Why can't you be more like him?
I don't know. I've always said that. I should.
If you go up there and you're as funny as Jim Gaffigan, how is that article different?
Well, I mean, afterwards, we did talk, you know, and say goodbye. I mean, there was a chance there for him to sit down with me and ask me more questions,
or to say I really enjoyed your show,
or say that he did, or to at least ask how do you think it went, or would you do another show here? He could have, you know.
Now, I don't know what this guy looks like, but I'm going to guess. I'm going to use a celebrity. You tell me if I'm off.
Well, I got to remember what he looks like.
Jeez. You don't remember? Because I'm thinking Sam from Game of Thrones.
No. I'm thinking more Michael Cera. Is that his name? Okay. Sarah.
Not Marcus Cera.
He looks like Marcus Cera. And Rob Spiewak had a baby.
It's a good-looking guy right there.
The sexy man.
Any chance he has a Confederate flag in the back of his truck?
I don't think that's his MO. I think he's just... I think he doesn't give a fuck. That's what I think. I think he's unprepared and disorganized. That's what I think.
I think he had a... He knew that our conversation on the phone was awkward, and because he sort of mentioned that I caught him off guard when I called him back. And I think he just... It never recovered. Our relationship was... It's like Robbie with, you know, the night manager. You know, it was one bad experience, and he'll never get another chance.
How can you get caught off guard when someone is calling you? You just don't pick up. You're like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were going to be there when I picked the phone up that was ringing. No, that's what a fucking phone call is. You get to make a decision on whether or not you want to receive it. Once you hit enter or whatever, or start or whatever, the green button, yes, you are acknowledging that somebody's on the other line and you're prepared to talk to them.
Well, you would have thought when he emailed me saying he wanted to talk that he'd already had questions in mind. You would think that he would have already had that, but I don't think that he did.
Yeah, but he's also a journalist.
Eh.
You understand? You could tell me anything and I could have six questions to ask you. You're a fireman. Okay, hey, have you ever been in a fire where anyone lost their life?
Sure.
Have you ever pulled somebody out of a burning building?
And how much training do you have to do to be a fireman?
What's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you during a fire?
Do you ever have an accident sliding down the pole? I mean, it'd be easy.
Yes.
Did you ever rescue a woman who offered you a hard-on?
Yeah. Do you tell women you're a fireman right off the bat? Does that attract them?
Do you have any tattoos?
Yeah. Who's your favorite fireman of all time?
Do you own a Dalmatian? How many? What's its name?
Do you have a fire hall where you could book our murder mystery?
Have you ever seen Dan 9 in it, one of your fire hall events?
All right, we'll try to get Thomas on the show. He's very busy, though. He's doing a lot of writing for the rest of Connecticut.
No, it takes him about 30 seconds to write his articles.
That's true.
He could write like 100 a day.
Anything else? We feel like we need a few more minutes here. What have we got? Nothing? All right.
What about Robbie trying to steal his neighbor? Oh, we can't. That's from this bonus show material.
That was the bonus show that we never talked about. Yeah. We just did our bonus show. Duh. We didn't mention that. It's going to be out this week. So if you're not a patron yet, get on it because you can listen to that and then everything we've ever done on Patreon. So how many? Is this our seventh, eighth? Which one?
I think it's the seventh one.
Okay. It's a good one. I think you're going to like it.
Little, yeah, we do a good job of giving information that you can't get anywhere else. Now, I know that we had that one dick who was critical of what's his name? Justin, what, Labor? What's his name?
Yes. Yeah. Amy's a big fan of his, though.
Who, oh, all right. Sorry, Amy. That's the second thing I did that pissed Amy off. But that he may be critical of the amount of bonus shows we do. But I guarantee you that the bonus shows that we do provide more information than we are not willing to give on a regular show. Agreed?
Absolutely.
I mean, even from the very first one where we made a discovery that proved to be true. You know what I'm referring to?
I do.
You got to go back when we Facebook detected the shit out of something.
I don't know what you're referring to.
All right. I'm going to tell you off air. Or you can become a patron, Rob, and you can find out yourself.
I think we need to do more of that Facebook stalking stuff. I think it's
okay.
Fun.
I got distracted. I'm reading a tweet from Jim Amato. He sent me a nice email. He and Miggity Mac are in chat, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being a part of the show.
Yeah. Did you appreciate his performance filling in for you, Marcus? I mean, did you think he did things wrong? Are you correct? Are you now concerned he's going to take over the Americas?
I think Jim and I will talk about that off air.
Well, Marcus, that's your property. You can't lose Americas. You own it.
Well, that is true unless I give it away. But all that being said, I think that what Jim brought to the table was he brought a very similar show to what I do with the additional caveats of bringing some nice sound elements and other pieces to it. I think that he did a fine job of filling in. Are there things that I think could be corrected? Yeah, but I think that's something I'll discuss with him off air.
It's like if you took, because you have the golden voice, Marcus, and no one can compete with that. But Jim brought something to the table where he did some actual some prep, it appeared, that, you know, he put together that whole 90-second thing. I mean, he put work into it. And
well,
it's
Marcus
obvious
has to put work in because
it's obvious that Marcus has just been slacking the last year, which is fine.
I was getting ready to defend Marcus. Sorry about that.
I just gonna
no, it's down. Fine because okay. Everybody who I mean, I've had Brett and Jeff, or I think it's Brett and Jeff. I can't remember now. Anyway, those two guys have filled in before. Jim has filled in. Courtney has filled in. Every time somebody has filled in to do Americast, they've brought something new to the table, which I walk away and I go, damn it, I would love to incorporate some of that into the show. It's just a matter of balancing. At this point, I mean, if we were talking when I first started, I would have incorporated it. Right now, between balancing the work that I do, the personal life, it's not, I don't really have the time in order to do.
Well, that's not true. Remember, you lost that gig with the Arena Football League. It freed up a bunch of your time.
That is true. And then I filled it up with two new clients. So my hours went right away.
On your list of priorities, is Americast in your top 10?
No.
Top 20?
You got to remember, there's a lot of family in there, so that it ends up down toward the bottom.
Who treats what with more respect? You to Americast as that guy is to that to his article.
I definitely have more respect for my show than he does for his paper.
So speaking of Jim Amato, I definitely had a generational slap in the face with my girlfriend the other day.
He's in
everybody,
chat.
Yeah. Everybody in here knows the song Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, correct? That's a song everyone knows, correct?
Yeah.
The old-timey classic.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, yeah.
Yes. She's like, I've never heard it before.
Of course she has.
You've never heard it. She goes, I have never heard it. I go, you've never heard it. She goes, no. I start singing it, not familiar. So then we are hanging out with Justin Schlegel and his girlfriend. She's never heard it either. They've never heard it. I literally thought I thought it was like Happy Birthday. I just thought everybody knew the song, regardless of how old it is, didn't know it.
I'd be surprised if anybody under 40 knew it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that of much of a classic that you would know it if you're
The only way that you're Katie's under 40 age. And know it is because you're gay and you go to musical theater.
If you put Let's true. Call, the whole thing off comes right up. That's your Google search.
But that's also just a saying that's in the lexicon, you know.
Let's call the whole thing off. Not without that song, it's not.
No, it comes from the song.
Yeah,
I know it comes from that, but Life in the Fast Lane comes from that song too. But there's people that know that saying that don't know the song.
Not many.
Does Katie know Life in the Fast Lane?
Of course she does. It's her favorite Eagles song.
I just watched the history of the Eagles again the other day. It's so good.
Oh, good for you. For the record, we just recorded our 9th bonus show.
Nice. 9th. Hey,
it's not numbered numbered 9 after all.
Of course not. Shout out to Michael O'Hara on Twitter, who tweeted my Bruce Allen Dunkirk joke to one Steve Saban, the afternoon drive host of on Sports Talk 980, ESPN 980, the Redskins flagship station. Station that's also owned by the Redskins. So perhaps
critical of the Redskins. You won't hear it because they're not allowed to be critical of the Redskins.
No, they're critical. How could you not be? They're not as critical as
that's the station
106.7
that Chris Cooley is on.
Yes.
No, they defended the handling of the Kirk Cousins situation as if it was the Gretzky to L.A. trade. I mean, they nothing
objective.
Yes, but that's
two people. That's not the entire station.
Okay.
I mean, Robbie, you know.
Would you agree that if you're overly Robbie's critical? Still up,
go ahead.
You would agree if you're overly critical of the Redskins on that station, you will be terminated.
No, Saban has said before, as long as Snyder's the owner, they'll never win anything. So I don't know how much more critical you can be than that.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Steve Saban, but he's no Danny Ruelier.
Not close.
Who should have retweeted that, but whatever, Danny, it's fine. All right, let's wrap it up. We will see you next week, of course, coming up. Hey, the 29th, this Saturday, you and I will both be at the Comedy Factory with Justin Schlegel, correct?
Yeah, doing stand-up for the first time in a long time. I'm trying to remember the last time I did it. I'm only doing like 5 minutes.
Well, still, though, you're rusty. It's not that easy, Joe.
Nah. Well, I mean, it might be difficult if I were doing 25, but doing 5, that's...
Are you going to do the closer, the pie plate?
I will go out. I will make fun of getting fired from 98 Rock multiple times. I will do some crowd work. I will tell the closer and I'll leave. That's what I'm going to do.
Sounds about right. You're doing the early show. I am doing the late show, BaltimoreComedy.com. And, of course, we make our Murder Mystery debut there August 11th and 12th. Sing for Your Life, 1 show Friday, 2 show Saturday. And Robbie, enough people have chimed in. You are now committed correctly to singing The Bad Touch.
I didn't see anybody post. I saw like 2 people post.
No, we've had 10.
Nope. Prove it. I didn't see 10.
Prove it. Well, you'll look and there'll be 10 and then you're committed.
There's not 10 posts on our page, but from our people, there's not.
All right. Well, we'll revisit that next week. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.